The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program is joining us Dr. Lena Wen, author of the new book entitled When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. In the news this week is some interesting information and new research on girls' brains and how early exposure to stress at home can affect their emotional stability. This was in the November 4th issue of Nature Neuroscience. It turns out that girls who are born into families with high levels of stress might be more likely to suffer from anxiety and disruptions in brain function, if you can believe that, as teenagers. And this is based on research. In addition, researchers in this particular study found that female babies who lived with stressed moms had higher levels of a stress hormone known as cortisol when they were preschoolers. And these girls with those higher cortisol levels were actually more likely to have less effective wiring in their brains between the areas that regulate emotion. This is based on findings where MRIs or brain scans were done in 57 individuals, half of them males, half of them females. And it is also, I think, important to note that although an important study, it really still hasn't shown a cause and effect relationship with 100% certainty. So stay tuned as we continue to learn more about stress. I'm fascinated by this topic, actually, but also engage in family discussions that reduce that stress, most importantly, if you have young girls as daughters. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Lena Wen is a physician at Harvard, the Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Mass General Hospital, both of which are in Boston. She's been featured on Time, Newsweek, ABC News, and the award-winning HBO documentary, Reporter. Welcome, Dr. Wen, to Your Holistic Health.
Dr. Kathy, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you and to your listeners.
Well, you know, where I come from, one of the things that doctors, I thought, did the very best of all the healthcare professionals is listening. And it's such an intriguing thought to see that you've written an entire book on your perception that no, perhaps they don't. Tell us, please, what prompted you to write this?
Well, first of all, I think you are extremely lucky to have had the experience with doctors who do listen, because as I go around and talk to patients and patient advocacy groups, the one complaint that keeps on coming up is how they feel their doctors are not listening to them. And I ask people, have you ever had an experience where you're cut off, where you were in the middle of trying to tell a story, but then you're cut off and the doctor asks you from a list of questions. Do you have chest pain? Do you have shortness of breath? Do you have headache? And you wonder, but what happened to the concerns that I had to begin with? So part of what prompted me to write the book was my experience as a physician, but another part of it was something that's much more deeply personal. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was a medical student, and she actually died when I was a resident physician 2 years ago. The experience of being her caregiver and watching her try to navigate the healthcare system and helping her through it, even though she was a highly educated woman and I knew something about healthcare, we felt totally out of control as if we didn't understand how we can get the best care possible for her. And as a result of that experience, I've made it my life's work to try to empower patients to make sure they get their doctors to really listen to them, address their concerns, and get to their right diagnosis.
Well, I think that's a powerful testimony and one worth exploring. And I will confess that I too have been in the medical system as a patient recently. And I must say, I know the time is limited and I try to be efficient in using that time and honoring that time with the professionals. But I must say, it seems depersonalized in a way that's sort of embraced in the hospital setting where I work, in that we have algorithms, we have order sets, we have pathways. I know you have these, and they have them all over the country now, because it is presumed that is the best way to notch into a particular category, if you will, which turns out to become a DRG or a type of condition that's billed and coded and studied for quality, and on it goes. I'm guessing you don't care for those cookbook type approaches so much. What do you think?
That's correct. The cookbook approaches that you're talking about, the algorithms, the pathways, they treat patients the same. They treat you, if you come in with a particular symptom, like every patient who comes in with that symptom. And it relegates your story to something that's not even important. And so that's the reason why the most important part of making sure your doctors listen is making sure that you are telling them a story of your illness and your symptoms.
Well, and when stories are told, I think emotions flow from knowledge. And there's a release or a freedom, and then that relationship begins to be built. And certainly that is the hope. And without that, once again, there are a lot of unhappy people because they are left with anxiety, left with frustration and unanswered questions. Quite honestly, the only retort is to come back a second time. So how are patients supposed to push back? Because it seems a little, may I use the word awkward, but perhaps maybe even a bit disrespectful. I can understand that sensitivity.
That's right. And I certainly see this a lot in our patients who come in and say, well, I just didn't ask this question for years because I didn't want my doctor to think that I was a problem patient. I can certainly sympathize with my mother as well. She was a very respectful person, and she didn't want to come across as, well, I'm pushing the boundaries for what's acceptable. And yet, you, as the patient, you are the one who knows yourself the best. And as I like to say, you need to help your doctor help you. So one way to do this is to very respectfully and gently stop your doctor and say, let's say your doctor keeps on asking these yes-no questions, answer their question and then say, well, I understand that I've had a little bit of chest pain, but what concerns me the most is this cough that I've been having and this fever. How does that fit into what you think so far about my care? And to also ask about your diagnosis, because if you keep on focusing back on what it is that your doctor thinks you have, then that's a way of asserting yourself in a way that gets your doctor to partner with you and doesn't come across as being too forceful.
So it's okay to almost ask them, can you please help us think aloud together? In a more collaborative way, or just share with me where you're going, and I guess the official term would be your differential diagnosis.
That's exactly it. The doctor is always thinking something, and I say doctor, but I mean nurse practitioner, physician assistant, and whoever is taking care of you. Your healthcare provider is always thinking about something when they're seeing you. And that something is what we call the differential diagnosis, which is a list of all the possible things that could explain your symptoms. So what I advocate for is for patients to ask their doctor, what do you think it is that I have? And if the doctor says, well, I'm not sure, keep on pressing and ask, well, what are two or three things that this could be? I want to know, and I want to share in the decision-making process.
That makes perfect sense. And yet it might be, you know, patients who've not trialed that in the past may be shy, may be timid, but it's wonderful to hear from you, Dr. Nguyen, because you're a physician and you're advocating, please open up, I'm willing to open up. Let's just fill our time together with perhaps the possibilities. And the next time, maybe we will have more information from testing, from thoughtfulness, from reading, whatever, perhaps all of the above. But there are, however, going to be always, I'm sure, some patients who fall out of the norm, who have that rare condition or issue that's not seen as frequently. What should they do so they don't burn out their physician-patient relationship?
You should always ask your doctor the questions that you have. Let's say that you don't fit into the likely diagnosis, and maybe the physician is genuinely puzzled. It's okay to ask, well, you may not be sure, doctor, but can you give me a sense of what are you thinking, and what should we do next? Let's work together to figure out what happens next. The fact that your illness isn't typical is not your fault. It's also not the doctor's fault, but the doctor cannot possibly reach your diagnosis without your help. And at the same time, it's also his or her job to get to your diagnosis. So whatever you can contribute will only help in the process. So don't feel that you're a burden. And actually, on the contrary, help your doctor. For some things to do might include writing down a list of your symptoms, doing your own research, and making sure that you advocate for yourself whenever you speak to your doctor.
Very good. Now let's talk a little bit about what I'll affectionately term as silo medicine. And here I mean where very specialized physicians perhaps don't have as much opportunity to speak to one another face-to-face, perhaps even on the phone. But now we are in many pockets of the country, most pockets of the country, I guess I should say, advantaged by the new electronic medical records, and can only see that growing and expanding, much like the internet has in years ahead. However, with a small caveat, they don't all talk to each other. One would think, but even if it's the same system, it can be configured such that they cannot talk from hospital to hospital. A lot of people have mixed emotions about those EMRs, we'll call them, or electronic medical records, but they seem to be consistent in their feelings that they would love to have all of their doctors communicate, kind of in an institute or a team spirit approach. What are your thoughts on that?
Dr. Kathy, you bring up some excellent points. The first about electronic medical records. So I think that they are fantastic because they are a way to make sure that everyone is on the same page. If you have a specialist at three different hospitals, it would be helpful for them to be able to know what the others are saying. And if you have electronic medical records of your various test results all in the same system, then it's likely that you won't have test results be missed or that you have to repeat a test that you just had done last week just because it's not in the same system. So I do think that in general, electronic medical records are a good thing. However, you bring up the excellent point that with so many specialists, doctors end up talking through records rather than to each other. And coordination of care is something that's so critical. And that's why I recommend having a primary care doctor, even if you have some very highly specialized conditions that you're seeing the top specialists in the country for. Having that primary care doctor or nurse practitioner or physician assistant is going to be very useful to make sure, as you said, that everyone talks to each other. And the third point that I want to mention on this, too, is that, just as you said, more specialization isn't necessarily better. This goes along with my general belief that more care isn't always better either. There's a saying in medicine that when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. And that's because if you're a specialist, and let's say you specialize on one specific condition of the liver, that's all you're ever going to look for. So having a generalist approach is actually still going to be very important at the end of the day.
When I see my physician, I don't want him to just see my liver. I would like him or her to see me.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That is the holistic approach that you talk about so much. Yes. That I'm also a huge fan of as well.
Well, you know what? When we come back from break, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about how you feel about integrative, holistic, non-traditional medicine, all of the above. If you're just joining us, this is Your Holistic Health. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. Tonight we're talking with Dr. Lena Nguyen about her book, When Doctors Don't Listen. We'll take our short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to an edition of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host, and tonight our guest is Dr. Lena Wen, author of the brand new book entitled, When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. Sounds pretty important to me. Well, Dr. Wen, before the break, we started just to talk a bit about integrative medicine, and let's just tee that up for our listeners who may be a bit confused because there are many terms I've found that are sort of bantied around and interchanged, perhaps not meant to be unintentionally, but non-traditional is something very quickly that is not taught typically in medical schools. Alternative is different than traditional medicine. Complementary or integrative is sort of all of the above, both traditional and non-traditional, or a more enhanced model. Some people call it holistic, mind, body, spirit. You know, I suspect that you have to be pretty intuitive in that world. Well, frankly, in both worlds. And I'd like to know how you feel about integrative medicine, and if, in fact, the Brigham and Women's Hospital has a program that's up and running and active.
Dr. Kathy, I want to start by saying first that I am a huge believer in holistic and integrative care. I grew up in China, where traditional Chinese medicine is practiced alongside Western medicine, and pretty much every patient that I knew growing up, every family member and every friend used a combination of traditional Chinese medicine and Western medicine, and it was seen as a very normal part of our healthcare to use both. And traditional Chinese medicine doctors have always impressed me with, as you said, how intuitive they are and how they incorporate the whole context of a person rather than looking at a person as a disease or an organ. And I try to incorporate those core principles into what I do. So in my practice in the emergency department, I tend to not use alternative medicines just because it's not within my scope of practice. And I'm not sure what else my respective hospitals, Brigham and Women's and Mass General, have as a hospital. But I do try to use the principles that I've learned over the years by observing traditional Chinese medicine practitioners. For example, the idea of really listening, and listening with your eyes as well as listening with all of your senses, of paying attention to context and not just looking at what is going on this particular day, but the whole understanding of the person, and to also have a broad overview of what else the person, what else the patient may have going on in their lives.
I find that the human machine is magnificent and awesome, and I'm sure anyone in medicine would certainly not disagree. But after all, look at its creator. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect." That machine is meant to be working in a well-oiled fashion. Sometimes it gets out of kilter. A chain or two gets out of whack. But it seems to me, in a holistic perspective, that it's a counterbalance of so many different things, that it's almost mind-boggling. It's to me, almost like looking up in the heavens and looking at the universe and trying to understand what a galaxy must look like, or the expanse of the universe, and how we are such a small part of it and yet such an incredible part of it. What do you make of all that wonder in a spiritual perspective, if at all, in your office visits?
Excellent question, Dr. Kathy. I do think that the mind and body and everything that we believe, our spiritual beliefs and our personal beliefs, form such a core part of who we are and how we approach illness and how our diseases are manifest. I also think that there's so much that we don't know, so much that we as doctors don't know, and so much that we as patients don't know. And for me in my practice, and what I encourage patients to, is to try to engage in these discussions with your doctor, because it illustrates your core values. And these core values will so affect how you want to approach your illness and your health.
Very well put. Let's talk a little bit about your book now. In specifics, I'd like to hear more about one of the appendices that you've so neatly put together. And it's really a strategic part of your book, which I love. And it's really the eight pillars of how we can become whole, or how the healing process can be advanced. Would you like to share some of those with us, please?
Sure. So I wrote the eight pillars to better diagnosis to help patients be able to really partner with their doctors to get to their diagnosis, to make sure they listen, and to use the diagnosis as the start of their healing process. Overall, though, all of the eight pillars are based on the tenet of communication, and they're all meant to help you establish that trust and relationship with your doctor. And this is a doctor who you could have had for many years, or it could be a new specialist, or whoever happens to be on call in the ER. I do believe that there are some core principles and strategies that you can use in any doctor setting. The appendices that I think you referenced, Dr. Kathy, also include some exercises. I have 21 exercises at the end of the book when doctors don't listen. And the reason for having those exercises are, not always can you plan for your next doctor's visit, right? I mean, sometimes it's your well checkup, annual checkup, and that's great. Or you have a minor complaint like a sore throat. But sometimes you could be going in for a serious illness, and it's important to prepare for these situations in advance. Just like you can't start to learn CPR the day that you really need it, we also encourage you to practice these exercises and the eight pillars well in advance of your doctor's visit.
Mm. Well, I would think that insurance companies and even the feds would love what you've written, only because you also advocate less testing, less non-appropriate or unnecessary, as you say in your book's title, testing, which certainly can translate into cost savings for the healthcare industry. And yet, I think, again, some sense of coordination, perhaps, just perhaps, is lacking among all the various caregivers, such that we start all over so many times, one again and again. Maybe we don't need all those x-rays. Maybe those blood tests, because they're a week old, are okay after all. But there's just a routine that has been so prescriptive, pun intended, over such a long period of time. It's kind of hard to get out of that model and take the risk as we live in such a litigious society.
You're absolutely right that there is a lot of waste that happens. And it's not just cost. And that's what I emphasize in When Doctors Don't Listen To. It's not just that it's expensive for you and for the healthcare system. I don't want to ration healthcare. That's not the purpose of why I wrote this book. It's that every single test, even a blood draw, has side effects and consequences. I mean, there's radiation associated with CAT scans. Potentially, there's damage to your kidneys from the contrast dye that's used in CAT scans and MRIs. Everything has a potential side effect. And so why go through these things if you could avoid it? If you could really determine what would help with your health care, then that's the way to make sure that you get the best health care possible.
I agree. We're coming up on the final moments of our show, and I'm just so curious, where do you think healthcare is going to be in the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
There will be more recognition that illness is not just about disease, but that we also have to pay attention to the whole person and to prevention and wellness to ensure good health. And I also think we will turn more to personalized care that's it's tailored to the individual. But that personalized care should begin with listening to your story and personalizing your diagnosis to get it correct.
Mm. Tell me, have you convinced many of your peers with whom you work in that emergency room?
So our patients are certainly on board. Our fellow doctors and medical students, everyone actually has embraced these concepts. And the reason is we all want to provide better care to our doc or to our patients, and we believe that patients and doctors should be partners in this process. It's a matter of implementing it because people do get busy, but that's why we encourage our patients to take the lead, and our doctors will follow.
I love it. So where can our listeners go to purchase your book, When Doctors Don't Listen, and as well to learn more about your work?
Sure. Well, we would love to have you, of course, read our book, which is When Doctors Don't Listen, How to Avoid Misdiagnoses and Unnecessary Tests. It is available on Amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble, and at your local bookstore. You can also visit our website at www.whendoctorsdontlisten.com. And you can visit my personal website, www.drlenawen.com. That's DrLeanaWen.com. I have multiple pillars and exercises and worksheets that are on the website, and would certainly love to hear from you about your comments for how to get better care.
Thank you so much again, Dr. Lena Wen, author of When Doctors Don't Listen, available at Amazon.com and other fine bookstores across the country. I'd like to thank you so much for being with us tonight, and blessings to you and your work and your journey. Keep up the good work, Dr. Wen. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, your host, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. Please visit my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for more information on my personalized wellness consultations. I'd like to wrap up the show with the quote of the week. It's from Anne Frank, and I quote, "Think of all the beauty still left around you and be happy," end quote. Please tune in again next week at the same time for Your Holistic Health, the next edition. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.